and the glory of God shined forth on the Mount of Transfiguration as, and obviously it wasn't God's glory in the fullest extent. Man can't look upon the glory of God and live, but at least the veil was partially removed as he was transfigured before them, or his outward appearance changed before them. It says that his face did shine like the sun, his raiment was white as the light. In Mark's account, it says that it was white like snow. In Luke's account of the Mount of Transfiguration, it says it was white and glistening. Do you get the idea that there's no human language to describe it? I think that's what we really have here. They're doing their best to describe it. It was like the sun. It was like the snow. It was like light. It was glistening. Just no words to describe what they saw. The glory of God. It made such an impression that both John and Peter, John in his gospel and Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, both mention this Mount of Transfiguration in their writings. John says in John chapter 1 that we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's referring to this Mount of Transfiguration. Peter likewise talks about this Mount of Transfiguration and hearing the voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom we well pleased, whom I am well pleased." So this made quite an impression on John and Peter. Now James, the James here that saw this Mount of Transfiguration is not the same James that wrote the book of James, two different James. So James that saw this didn't write any New Testament books, so we have no record of him writing about that, but it made an impression. Verse 3 says, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him." Moses and Elijah showed up. They talked with Jesus. In Luke's account, it says that when Moses and Elijah talked to Jesus, they were talking to him about his coming death in Jerusalem. I find that fascinating. Moses and Elijah show up and they start talking to Jesus about his crucifixion, his death that's going to happen not long after this. Last week I gave you some homework. And the homework was, first of all, why Moses and Elijah? Why would God send those two to meet with Christ here at the Mount of Transfiguration? Gail has an answer. All right. Oh, there. Do you want me to read this? Whatever you want to do with it. What if it's wrong? All right. I was going to get to that. So we'll get to that. Anyone else have any thoughts? Todd? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. God in the Old Testament had given authority to Moses to speak for him, and certainly Elijah as a prophet, given that authority to speak, and of course Jesus himself, being God himself, speaking for God, speaking for the Father. All right, very good. Dave? All right, Moses was the lawgiver in the Old Testament. Elijah was really the first of the prophets. He was kind of known as the father of the prophets. You got Elijah and Elisha, and then from that point on, you have many of the prophets in the Old Testament. So you have the lawgiver. And many times in the New Testament, what is the Old Testament referred to as? The law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. So here's the lawgiver and the father of the prophets showing up with Christ. And in essence, isn't it saying, here's the Old Testament represented by Moses and Elijah, that Old Testament which pointed to the Messiah, the law and all of its sacrifices all pointing to the coming sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the prophets all prophesying about this coming Messiah who would not only take away the sins of the world, but then establish the kingdom. And so you've got the law and the prophets, the Old Testament represented by Moses and Elijah, all pointing to the Messiah. And so it makes sense that it would be Moses and Elijah. Dave? He opened up the scriptures of the law and the prophets on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. Again, the Old Testament being referred to as the law and the prophets, and we have Moses and Elijah representing the law and the prophets. Any other ideas? Glenn? Okay, Moses struck the rock, which we know from the New Testament, the typology of Christ being struck, the rock being struck or being crucified. And then Elijah, of course, was translated. He did not see death. And so we have them talking about the coming death of Christ. Elijah didn't experience that death. Moses striking the rock. All right. Any other stretches like Glenn's? No. Just he's. Okay.
They were worshiping other gods. And then Elijah was basically battling evil his whole life.
There, certainly Elijah ministered during a time of apostasy in Israel, where they were turning away from God. Moses, of course, was the leader of the people when they rejected or did not have faith enough to go into the promised land, and God had to bring judgment of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And now we have Jesus being rejected by the Jewish people. So, okay. One of the thoughts, and this is what Gail had on his paper here, is there a sense, perhaps, and this may be, Glenn talks about stretching it, and maybe this is stretching a little bit, but you've got Moses who did die, and he's representing those who will die prior to the kingdom, but will be raised prior to the kingdom, and will enter into the kingdom with glorified bodies. Then you got Elijah, who did not see death, but went to heaven and received a glorified body, representing those who will be raptured without seeing death, and then will enter into the kingdom with a glorified body. Then you've got Peter, James, and John, representing the Jews, who will not die, will make it through the tribulation, and will enter into the kingdom without death or without glorified bodies. And then you've got the rest of the disciples at the foot of the mountain, representing the rest of the nations, who will not see death and will enter into the kingdom without death or without glorified bodies. kind of a microcosm of the kingdom. Again, that may be stretching some things. Worth thinking about, worth considering. Elijah did not see death. Moses did. Is that a representative of those who will die and receive glorified bodies and those who will be raptured, the church, and receive glorified bodies? Just a thought. There's also then, and this is debatable, who are the two witnesses in Revelation? We don't know. We don't know, but the description of the two witnesses, it says they'll turn the water to blood. Who did that? Moses. And they'll stop the heavens so that it doesn't rain. Who did that? Elijah. And so is it possible that the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah? And here's Moses and Elijah. Again, Christ saying, there's some here that are not going to see death until they see the Son of Man coming in His glory. Well, you've got the two witnesses coming prior to the Son coming in all of His glory at the end of the tribulation. And so you have Moses and Elijah as Christ is transfigured in all of His glory. And then in Revelation, you've got Moses and Elijah coming in the tribulation prior to Christ coming in all of His glory to establish the kingdom. Just a thought. Mm-hmm. And that's another possibility, that the Enoch, who was translated also and did not see death, maybe it's Enoch and Elijah that are the two witnesses. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. There is that rapture thing in there. Just some thoughts, and it's good to think some of those through just to get your mind active, and you never know what you might kind of stumble on by the guidance of the Holy Spirit that really comes to life.
Yeah. Neither one of the witnesses finished their ministry, and this would finish their ministry if that were the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Enoch and Elijah.
Okay. Gail saying neither Enoch... Neither Enoch or Elijah finished their ministry because they were translated before they died. And so if they come as witnesses, they will finish their ministry, so to speak. That's a thought. Let me throw this out as we talk about Moses and Elijah here on the Mount of Transfiguration. How did the disciples know who it was? What's that? I didn't hear that. Oh, name tags. They pulled out their wallet-sized photo. We can't answer that question. Maybe they showed up, they just heard Jesus and Elijah and Moses talking. They heard Jesus refer to him as Elijah and Moses. And maybe that's all it was to it. Second question. Makes sense that Elijah's there in his glorified body because he didn't see death. He was translated. Where'd Moses get his body? Moses died and was buried, we're told in Deuteronomy. God himself buried him. What's this body that Moses has? This is at least in part where some people get the idea that there is a temporary body that we get when we get to heaven between our death and our resurrection. In other words, if we die now, we know that our body goes into the ground. We know that our spirit is in the presence of God. That's very clear in Scripture. Our body won't be raised until the rapture. But some say we do have a body in heaven between our death and resurrection, that we are given a temporary body of some sort. And the reason some say that, at least in part, is because Moses has a body here. I'm not going to say one way or the other on that. I'm just going to throw that out there, leave it for you to think through. I lean away from thinking that we get a temporary body. I don't really believe that's the case. This body that Moses has here, maybe it's just, you know, the angels appeared in human form. Even though they don't have bodies, angels are spirit, they're able to appear in human form. Moses simply appeared here in human form at this moment, but does not actually have a body in heaven. I don't know. Yeah, God can do what he wants. Again, just good to think through as you know, they're the kind of questions we need to ask as we study Scripture. And sometimes you ask those questions and you can't answer them. Sometimes you ask those questions and all at once a light bulb comes on and says, oh, okay, that makes sense. And it's good to ask those questions. Yes. There were saints that were raised at the time of Christ's resurrection. They preached. As far as we know, they lived and died again. I mean, we don't know. It doesn't say anything else. It just says they came out of the graves and they did. They preached. That amazing stuff, isn't it? Can you imagine? I remember one time, I don't know what made me think of this. We're up at the hunting camp. And I was sitting in a chair there where my dad sat quite often. And Byron walked in, and just for a moment, he glanced over there and it was like, Doc. This was after Dad died. That was real there. All of a sudden, you're seeing one of your friends that died years ago. It's just, you know, Scripture doesn't always give us all the details, does it? You just have to let your imagination kind of run with some of that and say, those that were raised at the time of Christ's resurrection, I'm sure they ran into some of their old friends. What in the world did their old friends do? What did they think? Remember, there was another time at a football game down in Jersey Shore, and Kevin showed up at the football game. And one of the old Towanda football coaches was there that had coached Kevin. And of course, knew my dad also. And I said to Coach Quigley, I said, look who's over there. And he turned around and saw Kevin. And he told me later, he said, I turned around and saw your brother. And he said, it was a spiritual experience. I thought it was your dad. And then for that instant, and then he realized it was Kevin. Again, it was real after the resurrection of Christ. There really was a resurrection, and there's my old buddy.
The witch at Endor called up Samuel, you remember, mm-hmm. for Solomon. And that was, he was real. They recognized him. So there again, he had a body. So that's another instance.
The witch of Endor is what Gail's talking about. Was there a real body? Was it a vision? I'm not sure on that. Notice as we go on here. Oh, was there? I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I've often thought that as it relates to Lazarus too. Jesus didn't do Lazarus any favors. Mary and Martha may have been happy, but the Scriptures are, you know, that's one of the things that causes me to realize that the Scriptures are God-breathed. If that was man writing, they would have told us more about those details. God was like, you don't need to know those details. And so it just, as it relates to those resurrected at the time of Christ or Lazarus, you know, man would have followed that story out and told us what happened to Lazarus and what he was thinking, what he felt. And, you know, that's what man would have been interested in. God is like, you don't need to know that. Well, and you can think about, too, here's Elijah and Moses. They've been in heaven for a long time. Didn't Elijah and Moses, would they not have known the Son of God? Would they not have communed with him? Would they not have talked with him in heaven? Would they not have seen the Son of God leave heaven and get born as a man on earth? And now they're coming to that God-man and talking to him prior to his death. I mean, you can go really nuts with some of this. Well, they're on God's time, but God interjects himself into time. And obviously, Elijah and Moses here are injecting themselves into time if they're talking about Christ's death. So they're in heaven. They see the Son of God leave heaven. Of course, they prophesied about it. They wrote about it. They offered sacrifices in light of it. And so when they saw the Son of Man leave heaven to come to this earth, they knew what it was all about. Now they're here on this earth talking to him just prior to that crucifixion, Elijah having prophesied about it, Moses having established the sacrificial system that pointed to the death of Christ, it makes sense that that's what they wanted to talk about. It just makes perfect sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. They knew what was going on. Yeah. Yeah, they knew what was going on here. God allowed them to know somehow, some way, whether they may have heard Jesus refer to him by name, or they just knew. They knew it was Moses and Elijah. Well, the moment we die, we're in the presence of Christ. And so when that thief died and when Jesus died, they were both in paradise.
That kind of disrupts the time sequence that a lot of people try to put with our future.
Guess I'm not following what you're saying. Oh, I don't believe that. I believe we're ushered immediately into the presence of Christ, at least our spirit. Our body remains here, but in our spirit we are in the presence of Christ. And Christ is in heaven, seated at the Father's right hand. What's that? Right. Second Corinthians 9. Five. Yeah.
So, and the this is what we were talking about.
Yeah, I believe so. I think, like I said, the Old Testament, all the sacrifices were a shadow of the things to come. The prophets talked about the Messiah coming. In fact, let's close. Turn to 1 Peter 1. I think what we read in 1 Peter 1 is what we have going on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Verse 15, chapter 1. Wait a minute. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 9. Peter writing to those readers, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. See what's going on here? Peter says those prophets of the Old Testament, they prophesied concerning the sufferings of the Messiah and the glory that would follow, but they didn't quite understand it. They weren't able to put that all together and understand what in the world they were even prophesying. And he says they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, but they were searching diligently to try to figure this out. And so searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them did signify when they testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. And so they prophesied concerning that which was going to come in the future. It didn't come to them. This Messiah was going to come and he was going to suffer, but he was going to be glorified. They couldn't put it all together. They didn't see two separate comings. They saw one. But how is this all going to work out? And it says they searched diligently to try to figure this out. Well, guess what? Moses and Elijah are on the Mount of Transfiguration and they're getting it figured out. Here's Elijah, the prophet. He's talking about the prophets here trying to figure this out. Well, here's Elijah, the father of the prophets, and he's getting it figured out. He's talking about the death of Christ that's coming. And he's now beginning, I believe, to realize, okay, we're talking about two separate comings. I didn't know that in the past when I was prophesying, but now we're getting it figured out. And Christ was going to die, he was going to be raised, and he was going to come a second time to establish his kingdom. Good discussion. Yes. Second Peter 1 is where Peter talks about the Mount of Transfiguration. Yep. That's where Peter makes reference to the Mount of Transfiguration in Second Peter chapter 1. Very good. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we are so thankful for your word, and we want to be true to your word. As we study it, we need to ask questions. We need to explore answers to those questions. Sometimes the answers are obvious. Sometimes you don't give us those answers. But I pray, Father, in our study, in our search, searching diligently, just as the prophets did, that we will find the answers to those things that you want us to know, for you have revealed them to us. Thank you for this example tonight of Christ being seen in his kingly splendor, verifying that he is indeed the Messiah. And it made such an impression on Peter and John that they had to write about it later. And we thank you that they have written and it's been preserved for us so that we too can appreciate who our Savior is. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.